This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
From a meeting at the office to a big first date, there's a lot of pressure to wear the right clothes for every event. But clothes don't make the man. So why stuff your closet with things that only work for some situations? With Mack Weldon, you can build a wardrobe that looks polished in any setting. Their clothing is understated and tells the world that you stay you wherever you go. They craft each piece by combining timeless style and modern performance materials, so you can stay looking good and feeling comfortable from morning to evening. No wardrobe changes required. Browse everything from summer-ready tech linen shorts and anti-odor polos to tailored sweats and crews for a night in. They can outfit you for anything, no matter what's on your agenda for the day. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 25% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MACKWELDON.com. Promo code MACK25.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
Over the last several days, Lori Vallow Daybell's murder trial in Arizona has been underway. Jurors have watched something rarely seen in a courtroom. An accused killer acting as her own attorney while calmly questioning her grieving brother and the sister of her dead husband. There were no outbursts, no gasps from Lori, just flat and neutral. As family members laid out disturbing details, like Lori declaring her husband Charles had been overtaken by an evil spirit named Ned, or that she mailed Charles ashes via FedEx like it was an Amazon return. What stood out just as much was what Lori was saying was what she wasn't saying. Lori didn't challenge the talk of zombies or spiritual possession or casting out of demons. She just kind of let it all hang out there in the air, unanswered. So how do we begin to unpack the psychological meaning of her behavior? That's why we have Robin Dreeke here, retired FBI special agent and former chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. Robin, let's start with Lori. And I know you have had a chance to watch some of the trial this week, from her opening arguments to cross-examining witnesses that the state has brought up. Before we go into specific clips and pieces of this, what's been your overall reaction thus far?
I'm sorry, I'm chuckling, even I shouldn't be. I'm giving my very unscientific approach to some of these things sometimes, but just my emotional impact. Watching this, it's like you keep trying to watch it because I need to watch it because we're supposed to watch it. We got to pay attention to it. We got to do professional commentary on it. But literally, Tony, to me, it's like watching a sitcom that's been running one season too long. It's like you got to keep watching it just so you know how it ends. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, I'm over it. I you know, she's, the world is over her. I mean, you have your graphic in the background, Lori effing Daybell. Yeah, exactly. It's effing over. Just, you know, I'm so sick of listening to her pontificate with her crazy. So that's my only impression so far is she's what we expected, really. So,
she is. I mean,
so far
it's been an interesting week watching the opening arguments. I gotta say this, and I'm not gonna play back the opening arguments because I think we've already looked at them enough, but the bar was already low for her. I gotta say, she's doing better than I expected. Not that she's doing great or good or anything, but it's like she's at a level of terrible, not at like the, oh my God, dumpster fire terrible, but at terrible. She's a step above dumpster fire.
You know, and I like that aspect of it too, Tony, is the fact that, I mean, I'm intellectually honest enough too. It's like, I think she's doing better than I would have done defending myself. I wouldn't even try it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I give her a plus up for at least high levels of narcissism thinking she could do it, because she's actually doing better than we all anticipated, because I expected full on crazy. You know, it's the same goofy shit. And whereas we have goofy and we have a lack of remorse and a lack of all this. And I did hear one defense attorney actually get on the news and say she's actually doing what a regular defense attorney would do, even though it's coming from her. So it sounds weird.
Yeah.
To hear her arguing or at least going over 500 points on with family members and friends about killing her kids and conspiring, you know, mm-hmm. with her brother to kill her husband. I mean, it's just kind of weird.
Yeah, the narrative is so weird because she is the attorney, and I've been having a hard time trying to figure out what direction she's going, but I actually think she does have somewhat of a direction she's trying to go into. It doesn't, at the end of the day, argue her conspiracy, her role in the conspiracy, really at all, other than what it appears to be is she's trying to get out there. Did anyone ever see or hear her talking about killing Charles Vallow Daybell with Alex Cox? That seems to be what she keeps trying to drive forward and get to that point, come hell or high water, or whatever bizarro conversations she brings up in these cross-examinations, including like digging into a woman who went on a date with her husband. It always seems to kind of go back to there. And, you know, if you're going to try and give her a challenge, okay, here's what you need to get across, Lori, go for this. She seems to be attempting to do that. Will it work? Probably not, but...
Yeah, and you bring up a really fair point there, I think, Tony, and I do agree with it. She keeps challenging, did you ever see or hear me conspiring to do X, Y, and Z?
Yeah.
I think she's making a fair point, because I don't think, because she's so, her and Chad were just so delusional that these just became assumed truths in their lives. They became mm-hmm. assumed, you know, actions others would take as they're trickling and leaking information to others about how things should play out. You know, with, in other words, they didn't say kill anyone, but dark spirits and should be eliminated. You know, see what I mean? Yeah. So I think she's in a world of rationalization and wordplay. Mm-hmm. So she's being very specific. Did you ever see or hear me say that? Because most likely, maybe she probably didn't. Just like she didn't say to Chad, we need to make all our money by killing people mm-hmm. so we can actually have all their life insurance policies. Probably never said that directly, but all the actions and data points led to that path and down that road why she got convicted.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think she's making a fair point.
It's if you describe it in a different way, but everybody knows what the code language is. I mean, it's the same act at the end of the day, but what's weird about it is it's mixed with religion. So it's not necessarily that people are, or she's, if you believe that she believes this stuff, that she's trying to speak in code, she believes the code. She believes the code is the actual reality of it. And the reality is more so just the byproduct. And it happens to be that they're dead, so I get some money. But if they didn't turn into zombies, I would never have wanted to do that. It just happens that they had to die, so why not take the money? And that seems to be kind of the reasoning in her brain anyway.
Absolutely. And everyone else out there, and that's what I get the feeling of this, what she's doing in the trial is I don't think she's so much defending her innocence or guilt. She's, in her mind, informing the rest of the world how you all are idiots because you don't get it like I do.
Yeah, exactly. And in between that, getting really upset with someone that went on a date with Charles as she was cheating on him and conspiring to allegedly murder him. Let's take a look at this fun moment from court just the other day.
Would you have gone out on a date with him if he would have said he was married?
If I would have realized how married he still was, maybe
or who
not.
He was married to.
But I just met for dinner. I wasn't sleeping with him or anything.
Do you go on dates with married men?
Naturally? Argumentative. I'm going to also object under 611 for harassment.
All right. I'll sustain the objection.
Your Honor, do I not have a right to cross-examine this witness for what she has already testified to?
You can cross-examine her about what she's testified to.
So you did go on a date with a married man?
I went on a date with Charles.
But you did not know he was married?
I knew his divorce was not final.
His divorce was not started.
Okay.
Okay. So in your text messages, you asked Charles if he was a good kisser. Is that correct?
Maybe, sure.
Did he answer that text message?
I'm sure he did.
Again, 611, harassment.
I'll sustain the objection for relevance. And hearsay.
So are you trying to tell me and this jury that you went on one date with my husband and he told you all the details of our lives?
I'm telling you the truth, and that's what I know.
So you spent your whole date getting to know each other talking about me?
Don't flatter yourself. No, we did not spend the whole time talking about you.
Best line ever. I love that line.
That's going to be like at the end of the year, if we do like a clip show of like the top 10 moments in court, that's going to be in the top 10.
Drop
for this
the mic
year.
On that one.
Don't flatter yourself.
You know, and I'm not a defense attorney, so I don't understand. But I don't know where she's going. Like I said, you know, my impression of this is that she's just talking for the sake of talking with past relationships that she feels that, you know, wronged her. So she's going to keep jabbing at them. Mm-hmm. I mean, what the hell? You know, so was he a good, you know, good kisser? Did you talk about me? I mean, it sounds like, you know, someone on the high school playground, a middle school playground that just got pissed off. I mean, I just don't get it.
It does. I mean, this witness, I don't know what direct. I think she was talking for the sake of talking on this one.
Yeah.
That's where it's been confusing because there's been some witnesses.
And I'm sorry to interrupt you, but get this too. She obviously prepared.
Yes.
You know, Lori's prepared. She knows exactly what she wants to say, but she's just saying it for the sake of saying it. There's no reason to say it. It's just wacky.
She's been sitting there in court. She's been sitting there in that cell steaming on this one, I'm sure. Yes, going, I mean, that bitch, she went on a date with my husband. And like,
I've got to stop laughing because it doesn't
matter that she's about to kill him or like conspire to kill him allegedly. It's that he's a married man and divorce wasn't even started.
It's like, clearly, oh my God. It's a really bad sitcom. Well, not a daytime show. Day show.
It's like it's like a daytime sitcom that never works. Yeah. It's a soap opera. Yeah.
And the script was written so badly that, you know, they're able to get a time slot, but they're going to be canceled after three episodes.
Well, wasn't there, I never watched soaps, but like, I know my mom did and the people in my life that have. Wasn't there one like in the 90s that like, was like Young and the Restless or something. There was a possessed person in one of these. There was. It was like part of the plot line. Like every once in a while, I remember like a sick day from school, you're just kind of going through the channels and you're like, ooh, they're on the possessed like scene or something.
So, I was just dying that The Price is Right would pop up as I was flipping those channels.
10 a.m. 10 a.m. is when that came on. I would watch that one religiously.
And you see how uninteresting Lori is? Look how we're digressing.
I know. Exactly. Let's watch one more where more tension peaks in the courtroom with this witness in the trial.
That's how you met my brother, Adam?
Correct.
Do you know what perjury is?
Absolutely.
I object, Your Honor, to this question. Argumentative harassment.
Same. Argumentative.
How long was this conversation that you had with my brother at the pickleball tournament?
A couple of minutes, maybe less.
And how many times had you communicated with him before that?
Only that message on that dating app besides that.
One message, one time?
I don't remember. I think he messaged me back and it didn't continue.
So just the one day then? Maybe several messages in one day.
I might have sent him one other message, but it was just one interaction and there was nothing further.
And you did not schedule a date with him?
I did not.
Okay. Have you ever spoken to Brandon Boudreaux?
Yes.
Okay, when?
He attends the same church that my daughter does, and he happened to be at their house briefly, and I didn't really speak to him. I just knew that that's who he was.
And how did you know who he was?
Because my daughter told me.
And who did she say he was?
Brandon Boudreaux.
In relation to me?
She knows the story, and I know the story, so she just had to tell me that his name was Brandon Boudreaux.
That he was married to my niece? Is that the information that you had?
I know that he was married to your niece, yes.
Okay. Just the association is all I was asking. And you did speak to him that time?
Well, I don't believe I spoke with him.
None of it makes any sense in that one, other than
it was like, why do I care? I mean, it just, that's what I'm saying. It's just like, you know, you had the first season, which was her original trial, her and Chad, and there's some, you know, kind of horrendous, a lot of horrendous things with the children and the text messaging and the crazy that came out, you know, and they got you hooked on season one and you're waiting for season two and they got a new writer, man.
They lost them all in the strike.
This is just like, why am I watching this? Why is the government allowing their resources of money, time, and energy to be spent on? Now I get it. You know, the other things I said, I saw too, and I totally understand it, you know, since her original conviction's an appeal, you know, the likelihood is slim to none, but at the same time, you want to double down just to make sure that she will spend the rest of her life behind bars because she is a nutter that killed her kids. And just in case the other one does get to appeal and get overturned in some weird remote way, you got to make sure that no crazy comes back out.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.